You're listening to First Point Japan's Spotlight Series, where we interview the people and analyze the things that matter for you to establish, build out, and accelerate your Japan business. Only at firstpointjapan.com, where Japanese business begins. And now, here's your host, James Santagata.
Thanks for joining us today. Today we have Ken Charles. Ken runs the tech recruiting and is focused on tech startups and gaming, among other things, at Apex Executive Search in Tokyo, Japan. So with that, I'd like to introduce Ken Charles. Ken, how you doing?
Doing very well.
Great. Could you introduce yourself and maybe expand a little bit on your background and what you're doing at Apex?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm from the U.S. originally. I was in New York City for about 10 years. I used to be a recruiter on Wall Street, actually, a tech recruiter. And in 2008, when the economy got so bad, I basically, being a recruiter on Wall Street wasn't such a good job. So I got into the startup world. I actually founded a company and ended up selling it to a startup out of San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And from there, I ended up founding a second startup also in San Francisco. And I started doing a lot of business with Tokyo and Japan and kind of bridging the gap between some of the clients here and some of the businesses back in the U.S. And earlier this year, I joined Apex to take over their tech recruiting team. And yeah, I've been working here ever since, running the recruiting, like you said, for gaming, startups, tech. I mean, a lot of different things.
Okay, great. And within those fields, I know they're quite varied. Do you see any particular trends, say for startups? I know if you look at a lot of the TechCrunch and a lot of the VentureBeat, a lot of these, everyone always wants to kind of make a beeline for Japan, and often it ends in tears. Are there any particular challenges or things you see that might be able to help some of the startups that are coming into Japan to maybe perform a little better or maybe improve their chances of success in this market?
Yeah, I mean, like you ask anybody and they'll tell you Japan is a very unique market, right? And things are done very differently here. Mm-hmm. And of course that's true. I mean, one of the things is you can't just enter this market with the same assumptions that you've had in maybe your home market, say in Europe or in the US, and just assume everything's going to work. Business relationships are handled here differently. There's a lot more emphasis on the actual relationships between business partners over than necessarily just the value of a deal or the potential, for profit. So when it comes to hiring and building the teams here, I mean, it's really, really critical to get those early hires right. Because otherwise, I mean, you could really be putting yourself, years behind where you could be. So the initial searches for, say, like a country manager or the Japan general manager, or even the first hires, like your head of business development or head of sales for Japan, I mean, they have to be executed so well. It's really, really important. And one of those things means you have to budget out, however much time you think the search is going to take. I mean, you probably want to double the amount of, the leeway that you're planning, because it's not something where you can just enter the market and assume you're going to have the same success. That being said, I mean, it's such a lucrative market, especially in the space that I'm in. Mm-hmm. I mean, Japan right now on a per user revenue, the apps, in the whole app market ecosystem in Japan is the most lucrative in the entire world. Mm-hmm. And, everybody wants to be a part of that. I mean, there's a reason why so many companies are clamoring to come here. But the truth is very few companies have succeeded. So you need the right partners on the ground. You need the right, people actually executing on your vision. And it's not easy, but I mean, it's certainly doable. And there's quite a few success stories just in the last few years of companies that have come here and managed to pull it off. Right. If you do, I mean, the sky's the limit. So.
And what do you think to speak to this? And I know there's always pros and cons, but over the years, I've been contacted by people or know of firms where they try to run the operations remotely in some of these spaces, as opposed to kind of committing the resources or taking the time to establish the office and bring in a country manager or a business director. Mm-hmm. How do you think that kind of plays out in some of these spaces where they it doesn't have to be just American, but it could be European or Asian as well, that hasn't really committed to the market? Is there sometimes an impact to the business, at least from the Japanese eyes on that? Or
yeah, I mean, look, whether you're going to hire a country manager, you know, and have your Japan representative director and set up your presence here, or whether you're going to try to enter into a business partnership with a existing company that's here, bottom line is you have to have a presence in this market. You know, I mean, I can tell you from the recruiting business, you know, I used to recruit in New York City, and I also recruited in San Francisco, and we could, you know, hire people. You know, I was in New York working the phone. I could hire a person at a job in Michigan, and, you know, it happens every single day. In Japan, until you have that face-to-face meeting where you can exchange business cards, you know, spend some time getting to know somebody and actually fostering the relationship, no business ever occurs here. Well, managing it remotely, I mean, you need either the right partnership or, you know, the right person on the ground here managing those partnerships, or else it's never going to happen. It's a very unique market in that case, because there are certain markets where, you know, you can execute remotely and, you know, basically through, you know, digital media or just general kind of, you know, inside sales, or, I mean, however you want to handle it, and you can penetrate those markets. Japan is not one of those markets where you can do that due to the business culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, what do you see in terms of gaming? I mean, I must receive, you know, one or two inquiries a week, even from people that might have come from finance or other industries, all looking at gaming. What's happening with the gaming market, maybe mobile, or even if it's set-top or the console or PC? What's happening in Japan? Why is this so hot here?
The gaming market here is out of control. I mean, it is a boom that's, I mean, almost unprecedented. And part of it is, okay, you have a... Look at like a Nintendo or, you know, Sega or Sony. I mean, their most successful consoles that they ever sold. You're lucky if you get 100 million in, you know, user install base, you've done very well for yourself. Mm-hmm. Well, smartphones, I mean, there's a billion users out in the wild. And, you know, feature phones and Japanese feature phones, I mean, the penetration here is almost, you know, 100% of the population. So just from a user base, you know, from an install base standpoint, nothing can compare with, you know, what the mobile phones have. The users here, because of the culture, I mean, it's not, people aren't driving to work and, you know, they're not, I mean, if they're taking the train to work, they're riding buses, there's a lot of downtime where people need to play with their phones. Historically, you know, 10 years ago when you were in Tokyo, you would see everybody on the trains reading, you know, manga, you know, comic books. And now everybody's on their phone and they're playing these games, and it's such a lucrative market. So the market itself is completely proven. I mean, you look at some of the numbers of, you know, Puzzles and Dragons, for example, is one of the most successful, you know, mobile games in the world. On a per user basis, they're making 10 times the revenue that a game like Candy Crush from King is making. And that's just because it's a Japan-focused, you know, Japan-focused product, a Japan-focused game. So the potential for profits here is astronomical. It's just a matter of curtailing it and reaching the Japanese audience, which is, to be fair, is much easier said than done. But I mean, if you can get into this market and do well, there's a reason why, you know, there's so much domestic investment and so much foreign investment that's occurring.
I see. Yep. So within the gaming industry, say for recruiting, are most of these positions, are they looking for like business development, partnerships, media tie-ups? Are they developers or designers? Well, what kind of roles are...
Yeah, so on the domestic side, I mean, the Japanese startups and the Japanese companies, I mean, engineering is king, you know? There is a talent gap in Japan, there's no secret. There are not nearly enough talented software engineers to match the demand that the gaming industry is creating. You know, for example, a lot of the new startups that are maybe 3 or 4 years old, you know, they've built their business basically from scratch, native first, so smartphone games first. And they, in order to manage the scalability, they build on top of cloud services, say like Amazon Web Services, for example. There's this whole new ecosystem of, you know, cloud service companies and cloud providers that are creating these type of what they call like DevOps type jobs, which are, you know, people that can manage the cloud scaling for the technology side, from the engineering side, as opposed to 10 years ago, it might have been, you know, lots of, say, system administrators. And what we're finding is there's just, because of the nature of the Japanese technology companies and the way that they've done their engineering historically, there's not nearly enough engineers that have experience with that type of development environment to match the demand of the companies. So, I mean, engineering is absolutely key number one. And then on the other side, you have basically very, very skilled business development professionals and marketing, advertising professionals that can reach the audiences in Japan and abroad. You have Japanese companies looking to expand internationally, and you've got international companies looking to enter the market here. And those talented professionals with a proven track record, I mean, it's those people are I mean, basically they have their choice between, I mean, you know, literally dozens of amazing companies to choose from. Mm. So it's such a, I mean, it's such a vibrant market right now. I'm really glad to be a part of the gaming industry here in Japan. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to set up the technology practice here.
No, it sounds very exciting. Let me ask you this. Given that dearth of talent right now, or against the demand, what also happens, like I've noticed a lot of talented foreigners, meaning, you know, us, right, non-Japanese, what are their options? I mean, are they having a chance to, is technology and your skill set trumping, you know, linguistic skills of how good you are at Japanese? I mean, is that breaking down some of those barriers, or how is that kind of panning out?
It's, I mean, it's crazy. So I have, you know, startup, Japanese startup companies, and one of my clients just raised a $14 million Series A round, which is, if you know anything about Japanese investment, that's insane. That's like 10 times the size of a normal Series A in Japan, or such as seed funding round. And, you know, 95% of their business is Japanese. All the work is conducted in Japanese. So the talented engineers and the talented business professionals, for sure, if they don't speak a certain level of fluency, it's very difficult to get in the door with these places, simply because the Japanese staff don't speak English very well. You've got, you know, a few years ago, Rakuten, you know, which is the largest e-commerce business in Japan, just made it mandatory rule, unless you have a certain score on the standardized test for English, which basically means you're fluent in English, you cannot work at Rakuten. And one of the motivations for doing that, you know, yeah, it's good that they can make the company more international and help their international expansion, but the truth is, there's just not enough companies for foreign engineers who don't speak good, very good Japanese to work. So Rakuten saw it as a market opportunity and said, hey, if we open up our doors to hire, be able to hire more foreigners, we're going to get access to a tremendous amount of talent that's, you know, very, very talented, in many cases more advanced than the Japanese engineers, but we can be able to hire them. We can kind of corner the market on the foreign engineers. There's actually very few companies, you know, as a recruiting firm for us, that we can introduce, you know, foreigners who don't speak very, very fluent Japanese.
I see. Yep. So that's kind of a requirement then for a lot of those. Is that for the gaishike, the foreign companies coming in as well? Are they requiring that?
The gaishike companies, they require very, very good English. And typically, okay. I mean, look, the preference obviously is a bilingual Japanese person. Mm-hmm. The truth is, it's, you know, maybe 1% of the population is, you know, what we would consider like very, very high level business fluent English speaking ability. Yes. So from a recruiting standpoint, take your normal candidate pool, carve out 99% of them and throw them away, and that's what you're left with. And that's one of the reasons, you know, that we're able to have a, you know, stay in business recruiting in Japan, is because finding those, you know, those people that fit all the requirements and can speak English at a very high level is difficult. And it takes a lot of resources, it takes a lot of meetings, it takes a lot of networking to be able to pull it off. And it's, to find those type of people is very difficult, but, that's what a foreign company that needs to come here, because they can't speak Japanese, so they need somebody that's bicultural and bilingual.
Okay, great. Now also maybe backing up or going broader into the whole tech industry, are there any particular trends maybe since, I don't know, 2009, since we had that kind of reset of the market? Or obviously we know gaming and tech is hot. Are there other, you mentioned DevOps, going from sysadmin to DevOps. Is there other kind of macro trends that are happening in this tech field that you see at all, or at least for the recruiting that you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so there's a lot of investment that's happening in the market here, right? So you've got companies, you know, there was an allure for a lot of foreign companies to try to get into the Chinese market for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's proven to be very difficult, especially in tech, right? You know, there's no Google Play in China. I mean, it's you have to have the right partnership to get your product out there. So now you have Japan, you have a resurgence of the economy, you know, whether it's Abenomics or, and I'm not a professor of economics, I couldn't give you the reasons why, but you've got, you know, resurgence of the economy, you've got the Olympics in 2020, you've got tremendous investment that's happening here. So we're seeing entire markets transforming, you know, relatively quickly. I mean, there's lots of new companies in ad tech, for example, you know, lots of advertising technology that's, that wants to be here. The, you know, of course, you want to be situated for the 2020 Olympics. I mean, the ad spend in Tokyo is going to be, I mean, billions and billions and billions of dollars. So there's a lot of foreign ad tech companies that are moving over here and establishing. There's a lot of ecosystem companies in the app world. So companies that can improve monetization for mobile apps. There's a lot of activity in both the Japanese side and the foreign side trying to get into this market. I mean, it's a great time to be involved in basically anything in technology in Japan. Just the because the entire economy is, I mean, it has been transformed. Like you said, compared to, I mean, 2009, things were looking okay. And then the earthquake in 2011 kind of really put a shock in the economy. And it's amazing how things have rebounded here.
Amazing. Yeah, great. Okay, well, I think that covers a lot of things. Is there anything else you'd like to cover today then?
No, I mean, basically, like, I'd love to come back on and really deep dive into either, you know, startups or gaming. It's those are topics that you can spend hours on, you know?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. No, those are very interesting. We get a lot of feedback on those as well, a lot of interest. Ken, before we go, could you share your contact information? What's the best way someone can get a hold of you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, we're always happy to talk to any companies that are trying to expand in the Japanese market or any talented, you know, professionals who are interested in the market. You can reach me. My email address is Ken, K-E-N, at apexes.co.jp.
Okay.
So it's apexes.co.jp. And you can give me a call on my mobile phone. It's no problem. That's 080-589-2-4154. And I think if you are dialing international, you have to do a slightly different number on that. I think you can you put that up on the
website? Yeah, so all of this will be on the website as well, a little info box. So we'll have your contact info, email, and the phone. So both, so they can dial both domestically and internationally.
That's great.
As well, then. Great.
And then, yeah, you can always look me up on LinkedIn as well. I'm very active on LinkedIn. Ken Charles, I'm at Apex in Tokyo. I'm probably the only one that'll pop up. So.
Okay, excellent. Great. Ken, well, thanks so much for your time and for sharing your insights into the tech, startup, and gaming market in Japan.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. This program has been a presentation of First Point Japan, where we interview the people and analyze the things that matter for you to establish, build out, and accelerate your Japan business. Only at firstpointjapan.com, where Japanese business begins.